All right, so it's 20 past 10, so you should be out of here by 12. So you should be good. You should be good. As we come to God's Word, let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your Scripture that guides us and corrects us, draws us back into what you see deem as important and really enlivens us by your Spirit, Lord, to the things of you. And so, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds now to you and to what you have for us. We want, Lord, to grow. We want to be people who are always seeking your truth for our lives. So, loving God, come now and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been going through the time of Joseph, and the story of Joseph up until this point in time is, and Simon alluded this a little bit during his worship leading, is that Joseph was the favorite son of his father. He was one of the youngest sons, but he was the favorite son because he was born to his favorite wife, and it took them a long time to get pregnant, and he was the favorite. And because he was a young teenager, he didn't mind rubbing that in the faces of his brothers. Let's be honest, that's what he did. He wore a coat that his dad gave me. He showed off a fair bit, and his brothers, it would be fair to say, didn't like him too much, despised him a little bit, to the point where his brothers sold him off into slavery. They pretended that he was dead and dying and sold him off. And he finds himself in the Egyptian home, which is where we looked at last week, of Potiphar. And there he rises up through the ranks, and Potiphar lets him have free reign over all his household until Potiphar's wife makes advances on him and slanders him, and then he ends up in prison. And that's where we're taking up the story today, that Joseph has had jealousy against him and he's been slandered, and every time he's trying to do the right thing, but stuff keeps on happening to him. Life keeps on happening to him. It doesn't matter how good he is. It doesn't matter how how holy he is. Life still comes and gives him some curveballs. So we're going to start off with the Bible reading, and we're chopping and changing around because it's a really long reading and I didn't want to spend 15 minutes going through the Bible reading. But we're starting at the end of chapter 39, and then we're taking snippets out of the chapter of 40. And let's see how we go. So it says, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him favor and kindness in the eyes of the prison warden. And so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in everything that he did. Now, I just want to stop there, because that is almost the exact wording that we heard last week when Joseph came to Potiphar's house. It said that Potiphar was sold into slavery, but the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him favor, and that Potiphar concerned himself with nothing outside in the field or inside with the house because the Lord was with him. He acknowledged the Lord was with him. And so all he concerned about is what he ate, which would be kind of nice. And here we have it happening again. And you know, once is nice, twice is a coincidence, but when you start to see it happening regularly, it becomes a pattern. And so here we see a pattern starting to emerge in Joseph's life, that God is with him and that God is prospering him and that God is enabling him to rise through the ranks and take after look after everything. And it says here that the prison warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. It's a pattern. And in all of our lives, there are good and there are bad patterns that we can find if we look hard enough. There are good patterns like this one, that no matter what your circumstances is, somehow the favor of God is upon you and you're rising up through the ranks and people are giving you responsibility. But there are also negative patterns that can be in our lives. That it doesn't seem to matter where we go, the same bad stuff seems to happen to us. Or we start to hear the same story over and over and over again. Patterns come into our lives and when we can adopt good patterns, but we can also adopt really unhelpful patterns in our lives. And they can come in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes patterns happen because we are being influenced by evil in our life and they will enforce a pattern on us. And that's a part of what we want to break through in the breakthrough sessions coming up. Sometimes we believe lies in our lives that are truths. Sorry, we believe lies and we believe that the lies are true. And that causes a pattern to emerge within our lives that are unhelpful. And they continue to influence how we see the world and what we do. So my favourite one is one that I learnt from my daughter and working with young people. There are young women who every time they look into a mirror, and dare I say, I reckon there might be some older women who look in the mirror, and every time they do, they speak badly about themselves. I've seen the most beautiful women comment negatively about themselves and about their outward appearance. And I'm just going, what mirror are you looking into? But because they've believed a lie in themselves, they've got a pattern in their life to always look down upon themselves, and so nothing's ever good enough, and they try and compensate it in an unhelpful way. We can have patterns in our life that grow us, but we can also have patterns in our life that limit us. And here we see Joseph has a pattern in his life that grows him, that he's at work, and that whatever he does comes to fruition. We're going to keep on going because while he's in prison, while all this stuff, while he's in command, there's a little story that unfolds. Now, we're only tracking the story of the cupbearer, but there's also a story of a baker that's going alongside of this. It's not as happy a story, so we've left that one out. If you know the story, if not, go back and read it, and you can read it in its entirety, but we're just going to be picking up the cupbearer because that's the kind of where we want to go today. So we're taking it on from verse 6, I believe. So verse 6 in chapter 40 says, "And when Joseph came the next morning, he saw that that the cupbearer and the baker who had been put in prison by the Pharaoh were dejected. And so he asked the Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' And they said, 'We both had dreams,' they answered, 'but there's no one here to interpret the dream.' So Pharaoh has put a cupbearer and a baker into his prison. They both had a dream, and they're both downcast because they don't know what the dream means. And Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream.'" I love that there's still a little bit of boldness in Joseph, that God's with him. "And so the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, 'In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and it clustered ripened into grapes.
Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, squeezed them into the cup, and put the cup into his hands. This is what it means, Joseph said. There are three branches. The three branches are 3 days. And within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to the position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in prison. So he interprets the cupbearer's dream. He goes, this is what it means. You're going to be restored. But would you please let Pharaoh know that I don't deserve to be in prison? Everything that's happened to me has not been my fault. And yeah, we know all prisoners say that, don't they? But not been our fault. Please remember me. Now we're going to leave out all the baker stuff and we're going to shoot down to verse 20. Now on the third, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the cupbearer to his position, so that once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hands. But he hanged the chief baker. That's the story we didn't look at. Just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. And then the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. You can go, aw. Oh, that's right. So today we're going to be tackling what does it look like to be forgotten? Because that's the situation that Joseph finds himself. He finds himself the forgotten person in the story. He's blessed, he's doing everything right, but he still sees himself as the forgotten. And all of us, I think, at some time in our life have felt like that little child in the shopping centre crying in the aisle because you think mum and dad have forgotten you. At some stage in our life, we have not received that invitation that everybody else has received. At some times in our life, we have not got the acknowledgement that other people have got, even though we think that we have done the same amount of work and we deserve the same amount of acknowledgement. All of us have been, I think, in a situation where other people have been picked for that job advancement or in that sporting team, and we haven't. And we can feel like we're the forgotten ones. And being forgotten is tough because really it starts to talk about our value as a person. Because when other people value other people more than us, we look at ourselves and go, what is wrong with me? Why don't I match up? Why don't I get that invitation? Why don't I get picked? Why don't I get acknowledged in the same way as others? And we can take it as an attitude of rejection. And it can feel lonely. It's tough being the forgotten one. And because all of us have experienced it, I think we all experience it because we need to appreciate that there are other forgotten people